So the Gemara here on Daled Amud Aleph, which we began last week, says as follows: Hamasker bayis lechav. I'm sorry. Bo minei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Hamasker bayis lechavero ba'arba asar cheskas abaduk or in cheskas abaduk. So again, first we'll run over the Gemara just quickly. If a person rents out his home on the 14th of Nisan, the day of Bedikas Chametz, so it's by definition a transition day. And the question is whether or not the assumption can be made, or the presumption really, can be made that a Bedika already took place in the home. So here, the Gemara uses the expression that, at least for many Rishonim, became like a pivotal source for a broad and crucial question across the system of halacha. That sounds very dramatic, but it is. The Gemara says as follows: "Lemay nafkemina, l'shayle." Very simple, couple of words, but potentially very crucial. The Gemara says, "What difference does it make? Either way, let him ask the maskir, or let us ask the maskir what happened. Let the maskir simply inform us." Now that sounds simple enough, but there are basically two ways in which this statement was understood. One way is an innocuous way, and that is the Gemara was saying, even if we can't come to the bottom of the question that we are raising, namely, whether there's a cheskas baduk on a property that was rented on the 14th of Nisan or not, in the end of the day, it shouldn't matter much because it's very easy simply to ask the masker. That is how the Bach, I'm going to show you inside in just a minute, but that's how the Bach read the Gemara. And basically, if that's the proper reading, as we'll explain, then this Gemara is not saying anything particularly earth-shattering. The Gemara is just saying that knowing the answer to the question, namely, is there a cheskas bedika on Yom Yedaled or not, is not quite so significant, because either way, it's pretty easy to find out what happened. But that's not the way that the Rishonim read the Gemara. The way that the Ran read the Gemara, and by implication earlier, the Ramban in Chulin and many other Rishonim, was the following. What they said was, even if you assume that Cheskaso is Baduk, meaning, even if you assume that a Bedika was likely done before the property was handed over, you cannot rely on that Bedika to exempt yourself from your own Bedika if you have access to the maskir and have the ability to question him. That's an earth-shattering conclusion. In other words, instead of the way the Bach read the Gemara, which is, even if we can't find out the answer to this question, practically we'll be okay. The Rishonim read the Gemara as saying, even if we know the answer to the question, namely, that there is a Cheskas Bedika is going to be ineffective as long as there's a possibility to find out from the Maskir. In other words, Chazaka does not always prevail. It doesn't always determine the halacha. Sometimes it is overridden by the ability to gain clarity or better clarity another way. In other words, that the real question is, Efshar levarer, tzarech levarer, or Efshar levarer, ain't tzarech levarer. If you have a better way of knowing the truth, are you obligated to pursue that particular avenue? And that is an earth-shattering halachic question about the limitation of mechanisms that neutralize paralysis. Seemingly, that includes a group, a whole group of different halachic honored institutions. Rov, probability, chazaka, real chazaka, which we'll discuss soon, presumpts the status quo that prevails, you know, in a certain situation, where we say azlinam basar chazaka, maybe even things like suffik derabanan lakula, that if you have a doubt in a matter of rabbinic rather than biblical law, that were makil, or for that matter, suffik tuma bishus harabim lahakel. There's a whole group of dinim, svek sveka, if you have a double suffik, we're usually makil. All of those dinim are subject at least to this question. Namely, do we say efshel levarer, tzarech levarer? That do we rely on these mechanisms only when we have no other choice? Or do we rely on these mechanisms even when there is a possibility of further and maybe even more precise clarification? Now, of course, in addition to this question, that's one of the things we're going to look at briefly this evening, we should consider whether or not we distinguish between different mechanisms or different circumstances within those mechanisms. In other words, I just listed chazaka, rov, svek sveka, safek darbanan lakula, safek tuma versus harabim tahar. Maybe there are differences. Maybe they're not all in one basket. The question is applicable to each and every one of these cases. Because to each and every one of these cases, in the absence of definitive evidence, we rely on these mechanisms. But when it comes to the question of efshel levarer, tzarech levarer, here we might distinguish between some of these mechanisms for reasons that I'll discuss in a minute. For the same reason, there also could be a distinction within these mechanisms. It doesn't matter, for example, whether the issue at stake is a din d'oraisa or din d'rabanan, right? Does it matter whether the other side, if you will, you know, is formidable or negligible? Okay, what do I mean by that? Let's say we're talking about probability, right? Every probability has a minority, right? Whatever it is, 60-40, 80-20, 90-10, 55-45. Does it matter, right, what the level of the minority, the exception, is? So this is a discussion, and the Rishonim we'll get back to in a couple of minutes, called whether it's a miyuta matsui or not. How significant, to what extent is the minority view something that registers in a significant way, or mostly, you know, is discounted? So these are questions to look at. Another issue we'll see in a moment is whether or not, a very parallel kind of issue, is there a cheskas keneged, like cheskas iser? Okay, let's say we go azlinam basa rov. Say a rov typically beats out a chazaka. We say ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. Right, when there's a clash, typically between probability and the status quo ante, we go by the probability. However, maybe in such a situation, where there is a cheskas iser, maybe that dictates a greater reluctance to rely on the rov. Maybe there we're more likely to say that Efshalavara Tzarachlavara, as opposed to where you have one of these halachic mechanisms that goes unopposed. So I just listed a whole bunch of possible distinctions in this broad question, Efshalavara Tzarachlavara or in Tzarachlavara. But a lot of this issue comes down to understanding this line in the Gemara. Many Rishonim, the Ramban in Chulin, I say the Ran here in the back of the Gemara, we'll look at it in just a minute, think that when the Gemara says here, L'may nafka mina l'shayle, this Gemara is invoking the principle of Efshalavara Tzarachlavara. And as I said, I'll read inside in just a minute, but the Bach fundamentally disagrees. As far as the broader question is concerned, it's a well-known argument. Again, we touched on it a little bit last year, though we didn't go into much detail. And that is whether or not, for example, we say Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita Mumchenein, that most Shochtim will pick up a Shechita knife and do a Shechita, the assumption is that they're trained in technique as well as in knowledge of the halacha. That's a rov. Therefore, if you find a piece of meat and it's clearly been shechted, the assumption is that it was shechted by a competent and knowledgeable shochet, and you could trust it and you can eat it, all things being equal. However, if the shochet is lefaneinu, if you see him do the shechita, or you know who did the shechita, and you want to question him, in other words, you want to give him a bechina to see if he knows hilchas shechita, or you want to sample his technique, then in that circumstance, you get into this argument of efshalavara tzarachlavara. And the large, large consensus view among the Rishonim is that you do have to test him. Obviously not each time, but to establish that indeed he is a competent person. That's the view of Tosas, the Rif, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rajba, and so on. That's the consensus view. However, the Balamor, the Ra'ah in Bet HaKabayis, Balamor in Chulin, and the Ritva in Chulin, all are of the opinion that Efshalavara typically ain't Tzarach Lavar, that even if the Shochet is standing there and you have the ability to test his competence, test his technique, test his knowledge, etc., that nonetheless, you don't have to do that. You can rely on the Rov. The way that the Ritva in Chulin puts it is that the din of Azinu Basarov, not a bidiyavid, it's a lechatchila. It's the Torah establishing a din, you know, not just a unhappy kind of reliance. It's not like there's a suffek, but nebuch, we march forward. It's, you know, we are lechatchila allowed to rely upon this mechanism. Therefore, the Ritva says there's absolutely no reason why we should hesitate. There's no reason why we should seek further clarification. So there are Rishonim who have this view. What will those Rishonim do with this line in our Gemara that says, "My nafkamina l'shayle"? What do you mean l'shayle? If there's a cheskas baduk, then you shouldn't have to be shoal. So the Ritva, as we read last time, is stuck. Basically, this is one of the rayas that the Ramban, the Ran here, the Ramban Chulin, they bring raya from this Gemara. What will the Ritva respond? So if you hold like the Bach, which I'll show you inside in just a minute, it's not a problem at all. Bach says our Gemara doesn't prove anything. Our Gemara only says that if we had no way of resolving the Gemara's initial question, which is there a cheskas baduk or not, we would still be okay, because l'may nafkamina l'shaylei. But if we knew for certain that there was a Cheskes Paduk, that typically, let's say we did a poll, we did research, right? And we figured out that typically when the property changes hands on Yom Yedaled, that that the maskir is careful to do the bedika in advance. Let's say we establish that, says the Bach. Then in that condition, we wouldn't say Lishaile. We wouldn't say you're obligated to ask him. What the Gemara meant was, if you don't know whether there's a Cheskes Paduk or not, if you're not able to determine that question, then you can ask him. However, the Ritva, who did could have given that answer, it would have saved him a lot of Agmas Nefesh, I think. It would have been totally consistent with what he, the Balamor, the Ra'ah, say in Chulin, also read the Gemara the way the Ra'an read the Gemara. And therefore he found himself in a difficult situation, which is why I'm just going to look at the Rishonim now just for a second. If you look at the Ritva, but we need to understand what he meant. Look at the Ritva on page one. Ritva says, what's the number?
31.
Okay, thanks. 31. Yeah. Delesa come on to the Shiloh. Yeshla made a mikan. From here we learn. She'ein somken ala chazakos. Kol hecha de'efshar lemeida kushta. So it's an interesting reformulation. So the way he says it, that some people derive from here that you can't rely on chazakos, right, when it's possible to determine or discover the truth. Is the implication that if we ask the fellow, we believe him? 100%. But let's say the question was, you can rely on a 70% chazaka, right? Or you can find out 100%. That's one question. Let's say the question was, you can rely on a 70% chazaka, or you can do better. You can get like an 85% probability. Would you still be obligated to do that? Or it's only because you can discover the truth? That's also an interesting question. If the question is about maximizing your prospects, then probably it doesn't make a difference if you can get 100% or you can get 85%. It's also interesting that they call it kushta, because there's always a possibility that the maskir will lie. You say to the maskir, are you a good guy? You're handing over your property on Yom Yedaled. Did you do bedika or did you leave it for him? And the maskir says, I did the bedika. It's kushta. Let's say 5% of maskirs might lie. But on the other hand, it's edachad ne'eman b'yisurim. Do we believe it? So even though I would say in the world of probability, that's not kushta, it's just a very strong rove, but it could be that Alpidin, we discussed this in the past when we talked about the institution of Eidos, it may be true even about Namanus, that unless we know a person is lying, we assume 100% that he's telling the truth. Interesting. Now let's say you could do from 70% to 80% or 90%, right? I mean, in theory, it could be any time you could do better. It could be only if you can get to what we consider, at least halachically, 100%. Or maybe it means only when you at least jump a rung. Maybe there are gradations, like in probabilities, or other compelling mechanisms. And you need to at least jump to a higher gradation in that context. Very hard to know.
I'm confused. Why are you referring to chazak in a case of probability? Isn't that rove? Why are you referring to Chazaka.
It's a good question.
It's a rove. Yes.
I'm talking about probability. I'm talking about rove.
Probability is a rove, not a chazaka.
You mean why am I applying but this to our...
Whether people do it or they don't do it. Whether right, they ask right, whether 90% of the people, when they rent a house, they check or they don't check. That's a rove. It's not a chazaka. Why is that a chazaka?
Are you asking me or are you asking the Gemara?
I'm asking you.
No, what I'm saying is the Gemara here uses the expression when you sell a bias on Yom Yadalit, is it Becheskas Baduk or not? It uses the expression Chazaka. What I'm trying to explain is, and I'll get back to this, it'll be important in a minute, that even though the Gemara uses that expression, it means rove. This is a Ruba Delesa, come on. Do most maskirim who are changing, ownership or control of the property on Yom Yadalid, are they likely to do bedika or not? I'm treating this as rove, but I'm calling it chazaka because the Gemara calls it a chazaka. It's a case, and it's not the only one, where the Gemara uses the term chazaka, but they really mean what's called a ruba delesa kaman, as opposed to a chazaka, a more classical chazaka, which we'll get to soon, which is status quo ante, where you have a status quo, and what you're assuming is that until you know otherwise, the status quo persists. So, for example, let's say I did bedika in a house, bedikas chametz, right? And then I didn't look into the house after that. Not like I have a guard there, right? And the question is, maybe somebody came in with chametz into my house after I did the bedika. That's becheskas baduk in the sense of status quo. But the maskir doing bedika prior to leaving the home, that's called cheskas baduk in the Gemara, but it really is a rove. Okay? That's why when I was saying to you, are you asking me or asking the Gemara, I wasn't being facetious. I was saying, you're correct that I'm using the term of the Gemara Chazaka as a rove, but actually that what I'm doing is accurate. It's the Gemara is using the expression in a bit of a misleading way. But let's assume behind your question is the thought, I don't know if this is the case, you'll tell me, that maybe you could distinguish between the question of Efshelavar Tzorach Levarer when it comes to probability as opposed to when it comes to status quo. You know, maybe they're different. Now, how would they be different? Now, again, do they share something in common? They're both mechanisms which are not vadai, which we use, as I said before, to move forward. In other words, when you have a doubt and you don't have enough information, we say safek rabbanan lekula and safek tuma, brishus harabim tahar, and we say azlinan basar chazaka, and we say azlinan basar rov. So what they have in common is that in all cases, we're not certain, and these are mechanisms that allow us to proceed. In all these cases, the question that we're discussing, which is, if you can get greater clarity, are you obligated to do so, applies. That doesn't mean that the answer is always identical, because there are different mechanisms, and maybe they work in different ways. And therefore, maybe the answers, I think that's what kind of is behind your question.
Right.
So, but the comparison that I'm making between Rov and Miut and Cheskas Baduk of the Maskir happens to be correct because here the word Chazaka really means Rov.
Okay.
But we'll see in a moment, as I say, or Cheskas Baduk in a property where you did a Bedika. Now the question is, did somebody mess up your Bedika? That's really classic Chazaka. Or, for example, we'll see in a moment, because we're going to discuss the Bach and the Beis Yosef, we started last week. Let's say a behema, right? You say you do shechita on a behema, and the question is, maybe it was a trefa when you did the shechita. So as we'll see in a moment, the assumption that an animal is not a trefa is based on chazaka, because it was born healthy. And therefore the assumption is that it's in good health, unless you know otherwise. That's not rov. That's chazaka. So this is a very interesting question.
I would say that that's rov also, because how do you know that the behemoth was born in a healthy state? You don't know that for sure.
You know, when an animal is born, the assumption is that it's, I mean, trefa is something that's omid lamus, is all I'm trying to say. So the assumption is that when something is born, it's not omid lamus, unless you know otherwise, but it develops as it's alive. You know, there are all sorts of, you know, pathologies and morbidities, you know, that it's exposed to, or the decay, you know, and so on and so forth. But when it's born, it's viable, as far as we know. So that's the issue.
You don't know for sure.
Well, the assumption is that you do, in the case of trefa, put it that way.
Why do you know for sure?
I mean, that's the assumption that it's.
I mean, you shecht the behemoth, it maybe would have died tomorrow from the trefa that it was born with.
Right. So I'm saying the assumption is that you're not born with trefa. Well, we'll see in a moment. That's the.
I would say that's a rove also, not a chazaka.
Maybe the rove there is so strong that there's not a mita matzui. So it's either way. We'll see in a moment. Okay. So let's look at before we continue with the Gemara. So let's look at some of the things I keep telling you about. Oh, so what are the, let's go back to the Ritva for a moment. So the Ritva asks this question. As I say, the Ritva himself has a problem because, as he himself notes, in Chulin, he's of the opinion that we rely on the Chazaka even when we do have better options, right? So what he says here is, because of Aritva, uledvareinu shekasavnu sham b'siyata d'shmaya, says, given what I wrote in Chulin, the samchin in the chazaka, that we do rely on a chazaka, yishlomar she'in kol hachazaka shavos, b'chein ha'emes. So what I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, which is this same exact question, which is relevant to so many different halachic mechanisms, is something which is also open to distinction. Now, what should that distinction be based on? Right? So, the idea, again, of getting greater clarity, or especially if you have the possibility of MS or jumping to a qualitatively different rung of knowledge or of awareness, is very compelling, right? What would militate against it? When yes and when not, is what I'm asking. Oh. So the Ritva here doesn't tell us. It just says, ain kol hachazaka shavos. Of course, the most obvious is how compelling is the mechanism? Meaning, what is the strength of the minority that you're overcoming? So even the Ramban and the Rajba and... in the beginning of Chulin, who are very strong on Efshelavar Tzor Chavar. Even they make a distinction between what's called, I mentioned this already, Miyut HaMatzui and Miyut She'eno Matzui. What does that mean? So let's say, for example, you have a proportion of 90, let's just make it easier, let's say 95%. Okay, everybody can appreciate the difference between 95% and 65%. Or, 51 and 49, okay, if you want to push it. There's a difference between 51 and 49 and 99 and 1? Of course, right? Now, of course, as you move, higher on the lower figure, 60-40. Is there a difference between 60-40 and 90-10? Think of it in terms of, I said last week, think of it in terms of, vaccines, everybody wants the 94% ones. But if you can get one that's, I remember when they were speaking in the beginning, I said, if you have a vaccine that's more than 50% effective, it's still worth something. It's worth a lot. Baruch Hashem, they were able to come up with 94%. It's amazing. Okay, but and one of them is now, 80% or 85% or 82%, whatever it is. And I'm not getting involved. I don't want to get involved. It's not my shetach. But I'm just using it as an example. And the mentality, I think correctly in part, that people have. So when you have a miut, she'eno matsui, right? You look at it, it's not just a more compelling number. The way you look at it is completely different, right? When you have something at 60-40 or 70-30, you say, you know what? We'll rely on the majority. When you have something that's 95-5 or even 90-10, you say, listen, there are some exceptions, but it works. These are the facts, and there are some exceptions. Okay? You could say, the Rav used to like to say about these numbers or these kind of things, that, when there's a miut, she'eino matsui, there's no real leidus hasafek. We don't really, register the doubt. We know that in some cases, this isn't going to work. But until we know that it doesn't work, we kind of discount that minority. Like I said the other week, I've said it in the past, when you don't calculate your odds when you're crossing the street, right? Even when you go across Queens Boulevard. Maybe you should. It's not a moral statement. But basically, accidents happen, terrible accidents. We should avoid them, right? But you don't calculate your odds. You cross, and every once in a while, when there's an accident, and hopefully it isn't a terrible one, hopefully it's a minor one, then you say, oh, that was a terrible exception. So when it comes to Efshar Levarer, Tzarech Levarer, the Ramban says, even though I believe in that, says the Ramban, right? Amir Sheno Matsui, you don't have to worry about it. That makes sense. Now, again, there are two ways to explain Efshar Levarer Tzarech Levarer, I should also add. One is the way we typically do, which is, listen, the mechanism is not foolproof. And consequently, a few of the ability to get foolproof, or maybe even to go on a higher rung, or maybe even just to do better, you should. That's a simple way to explain Efshar Levarer Tzarech Levarer. Try to maximize, your kashrus, your whatever, your chiyuv, mitzvos, etc. The Pnei Yeshua has a line, and it a little bit sounds like this in sometimes when the Rajba writes in Torah Sabayis as well, that makes it sound a little stronger. And that is, if it's possible to find out the truth, and here it might be a din in Kushta, or what at least Al Pidin is Kushta, if you can attain the truth, then maybe something isn't really a suffix. You just haven't tried hard enough to find out the facts. If you're lazy, right, and therefore, you know, for you, it's a 70-30, you know, but with a little bit of effort, you know, you could find out 100%. So it's not just a question of you shouldn't rely on a rov if you can get a vadai, or don't rely on a lesser rov if you have access to a greater rov. Maybe it's a more profound idea, and that is you can rely on rov and chazaka and safek drabanan lekula when there's a safek. But a safek, by definition, implies that your hands are tied and you don't have any other option. If you, with a little bit of effort, right, can get to the bottom of it, maybe al pidin, that's not a safek. And therefore you just can't rely on the rov. It's not a question of maximizing, doing better. These dinim are dine safek. We call she ef shalavarer. Instead of saying ef shalavarer tzarech levarer, maybe the idea is ef kol she ef shalavarer ein kan safek. Now that might be only if you can find out 100% or al pidin 100%. I'm not sure. I don't know if that applies to, you know, downgrading the safek. Or either way, maybe that means if, you know, but again, if you hold that there's no leidas safek in the rov, then that's not really midin safek either. Because what we're really saying is that minority is disregarded. Okay. Now, the same idea about the numbers. Now, so the Ritva disagrees in Chulin with the Ramban and those. So he doesn't mean 10%. Because the Ramban would agree with him on 10%. Does he think that... you know, he doesn't think only in 90% and 10%. You don't have to be. He says in Rabban Tzvi Netzer Shechita, Mumchen Hein. Presumably Ramban and Balamor, Ra'ah and Rajba, etc., Ritva and Ran, they're not arguing about what the numbers are. They're not arguing if Rabban Tzvi Netzer Shechita, Mumchen Hein is 90-10 or 70-30. Hard to believe. You know, they use the same statistician. They all use Gallup. They all use Roper. They all use whatever it is. Okay? So it's hard to believe that they're arguing about the numbers. I'm not talking about presidential elections, you know, bismaneinu. But let's assume a normal, you know, more normal times. So it has to be that what Ritva says here, he's not talking about miyud amatsui. He's not saying what I wrote in Chulin is only miyud shein amatsui, because then he agrees with the other Rishonim. That's not rov matsui neitz shechita. So what does the Ritva mean when he says ein kol hachazakos shavos? So maybe he means something a little bit different. Maybe there are three categories. There's rov, gamur, without a mira matsui. And then there is a passable rove that's only a hachra'a, but nothing more, like 55-45 or 60-40. I don't know where to draw the line, I'm not sure, where the numbers are close enough that you technically have a majority, right? But your level of confidence, it's such a high minority, you know, that you don't really think it solves your case. You could practically just as be part. If it's 55-45, you know, it is very little comfort on an individual level, right? Or 60-40. There is some. Better to have the proportions working for you than against you. But the level of confidence, you know, is pretty low. That's what we call, I would say, a hachra'a. I mean, the Torah was mechadesh, that even though it remains a safek, you can, you know, you don't have to stay paralyzed. You can rely on the numbers of the general population without really believing with conviction that that translates into your particular circumstance.
Rob,
however, I'm sorry, let me just finish the sentence and then I'll.
Issues of Beto, we're really going for 100%. But the Bishishim, that's 100%.
If that's a different kind of a rove. There, it's a question of if you have shishim, you don't have tam, and therefore you've kind of obliterated the impact or the effect. Also, remember, 60 times one is a 60 to one is a huge. That's a miyachein matzui. It's a miyachein matzui, and v'ein bo tam. I mean, there's no residual effect. And I don't want to get into the, you know, Tom Kiker and all of that right now. But, you know, that's a whole question. Is it just a way of, you know, measuring, and the absence of Tom is a way of showing just how overwhelmed the minority is? Or is it that, you know, without Tom, there's just no remnant? So it's almost like, like you said, like 100%. But that's, you know, where we're talking about something like Tam, and where you're talking about a physical intermingling of a taroves, like you have food, you know, that fall into each other. And that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about, you know, how likely is it that the maskir, you know, 80% of 70% of maskirs do bedika before they, you know, hand over the property to the socher, and 30% don't, right? It's not a tarovis. So, right, I mean, the question of shishim is a totally different kind of idea. There it's patalagamri. It's tarovis, mixed up. It's a question of, is the identity of two of a compound, right? You have a mixture or a compound. Is the identity defined by the ingredients, or by the composite identity that emerges after the mixture? There we say shishim or batal barov, so on and so forth. But that's not relevant here. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is that maybe the Ritva is suggesting a different number. Maybe the Ritva is saying that even though when there's a less than, even when there's more than a mira matzui, right, you will still say epsil levar ein tzorich levarer. But that's because it's still a birur. It's not that the miut doesn't register, but we still have confidence, you know, when it comes to this particular, if I got my vaccine, it's not only a victory for society, you know, because, you know, the majority, you know, got an effective, you know, dose. It's also that I feel I've been protected. That doesn't mean, however, you know, it's the same as taking the 95% one where I feel, you know, I got protected, unless we find out otherwise. Here I feel the likelihood is I'm protected. And in the 60-40, I feel there's 50-50 chance I was protected, but there's a 60-40 benefit for society. I'm just trying to, you know, kind of characterize it. So the Ritva draws a line in a different place. That's one way to explain the Ritva. Another way to explain the Ritva is that the numbers are not the only issue. It also depends on the nature of the way that the mechanism works. And there are different types of chazakos and different types of ropes. For example, there's a difference between a behavioral rove, an artificial rove, and a more natural or behavioral rove. Things that people do out of, you know, human nature, as opposed to what they happen to do. or they do in a particular society that can change like that. Okay? So Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchenein, for example, might very well be, Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchenein might very well be something about human nature. It's not just a pole in a particular society. Meaning people are not presumptuous enough to, you know, engage in certain activities or involve themselves in skills for which they were not trained. There's a certain, hopefully, natural humility, you know, that people have. That if they haven't been trained in something, they don't just assume that they can do it. And especially when there are halachic issues at stake. That's different than, oh, this happens to be the conventional practice of a society. Now, let's say the numbers of those two things are the same, right? A more, you know, human inclination oriented rov, and let's say a more purely conventional, what I call rov. I mean, that's the convention of a society. The numbers could be the same, but you still might say, Ein kol hachazakos shavos. You still might say that in one case, we're dealing with a kind of birur, and in the other case, we still work on the basis of achra. Because in the one case, excuse me, we're tapping into human nature, and therefore there's a greater confidence that that applies to the individual, and therefore it's some sort of a bearer. Whereas in the other case, again, we're talking about, you know, a probability, but we're not really confident. It doesn't go by individuals; it goes by the collective.
Around, why yeah. can't you then that in a different way? Saying mm-hmm. the chazak, it depends on what the chazaka is defining. When yeah. it comes to shchita, the pachan and yira, then that a person that is an Obed Hashem, so the chances are that he would not do something that he's not able to do. When it comes to bedikas chametz, which we're going to be shown and we saw, is only din rabbanon.
Oh, that was going to be my next suggestion. Excellent.
Will be much more mako, right. And therefore need a better bira.
I don't think it sounds that way in the Ritva, because he says, it's, you know, in kol hachazakos shavos. So I think he's referring more to the chazaka, but I do agree with you. And whether or not it's the psychological, you know, drabanan daraisa, the yira, the fakad, as opposed to feeling more confident and so on, or whether it's just the severity of the outcome, I mean, what it affects. I do agree with you. So I want to talk about the Rambam in that light. So I'm glad you brought it up. So let's look at the Rambam for a moment. Very interesting Rambam. Right here. The Rambam's Perek, it's on page 2, right? Rambam Hilchos Chametz Perek Beis Halacha Yedzayin. What number?
Two.
Okay, great. Okay. So the Rambam says, Hamaskir Bayestam Ba'arba Asar. Right? If you're a person rents this house on the 14th, Hareza Becheskas Baduk. Now, we didn't read the end of the Gemara today. We'd read it last time, but in the truth is, the Gemara's Maskana is unclear. Originally, the Gemara thought that it's Becheskas Baduk. Then in the end, the Gemara is Docha the Raya. And there's no firm, clear conclusion in the Gemara. And this troubled the Rishonim. But for some reason, and they all note this, the Rambam writes very definitively that there's a Becheskas Baduk. Maskar Bayis Stam, Yudalad, Hareza Becheskas Baduk. They're all wondering, where did he get it from? Some of them think that he got it from the din of Sveika Drabanan Lakula. Interesting. Either way, that's Chiddush number one of the Rambam. How does he know what is a Baya de Loishta in the Gemara? How does he know, you know, that it's Keskas Badak? Then he says, Ve'eno Tzarech Livdok. We rely on it, and there's no need for Bedika. What's missing? Oh, so let me just read one more line of the Gemara. Sorry. Let's go back to the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph for a minute. What did the Gemara say? Oh, my name is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hamasker Bayis L'Chaveiro, Biya Dalet, Cheskas Abadok and Cheskas Abadok. So the Gemara says, L'may Naf Gemina, what's the difference? L'Shaile. So the Gemara's answer, Delay Salahai Delishiule. Let's say he's no longer around. And the question is, La Truche Lahai. Does the Socher have the burden of Bedikas Chametz? That's a question. What's the conclusion of the Gemara? And everybody, none of the posts can say this. If the masker is present, then you certainly can't rely on Cheskas Baduk. Right? It's only if he's laser to come on Dilashaila. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, that's what they say. That's missing in the Rambam. Rambam says two chidushin. Number one, Hareza Becheskas Baduk. Not so simple. Where does he get it from? And then he says, V'eino tzarech livdok. But what he doesn't say is that im nimtza hamaskir tzarech l'shaylei. Very strange. Now you could say, divi harambam, you know, aniyim b'mokom echad v'ashirim b'mokom acher. After all, the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita explicitly says about Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchenim that if he's present, then you're obligated to ask him. So maybe the Rambam's relying on the fact that we already, that we know his psak. Right? It's a little strange. After all, Hilchos Chametz is written way before Hilchos Shechita. You know, last year we learned Hilchos Shechita, this year we're learning Hilchos Chametz. But the Rambam didn't write them in that order. So is that the pshat? Or is the Rambam subtly telling us that even though in Hilchos Shechita, Efshe Levarer, Tzarech Levarer, shiny Chametz, here, you don't have that. In which case, it would come out the exact opposite of the Ritva. Right? We'll get back to Dr. Maybrook's Ha'ara, but for the Ritva, it's very hard to say that, what you were saying. Number one, that doesn't sound like Kol Chazak, in Kol Chazak HaShava. It could mean that. But remember the direction that the Ritva is going. The Ritva is trying to explain why Rov Mitzvah Neitzel Shechita Mumchenein, you have to ask. I'm sorry, the other way. Why Rov Mitzvah Neitzel Shechita, you do not have to ask. And in Chametz, you do have to ask. So he says, Ein kol ha-chazak al shavos. And therefore, for some reason, we're more machmir in chametz and less in shechita. Right? But the Rambam seems to be saying the opposite. When it comes to shechita, we have to ask. When it comes to chametz, we do not ask. How did he read the Gemara? Hard to say. I would say one of two things about the Gemara. One possibility is he read it like the Bach. Namely, when the Gemara says, L'may nafka mino l'shayle, I'll read it inside the Bach in just a second. The Gemara wasn't saying, even if there's a chetzkes baduk, you still have to ask, like all the Rishonim understood. The Gemara was saying, even if we can't figure that out, namely, whether there is a chetzkes baduk or not a chetzkes baduk, what's the big deal? Just ask him. So if you read like the Bach, then the Gemara here isn't telling us Efshel Levar Tzorach Levarer. So then there's an opening to be Mechalek. But what's the Svara of being Mechalek? Maybe what Dr. Baybrook was suggesting, but not in the opposite direction of the Ritva. And that is that this is a Din D'Rabbanan. Since the stakes are D'Rabbanan, maybe here we simply rely on the Chazaka. Which brings us to the second possibility, and that is, originally the Gemara wants to know, yes, Becheskes Baduk or not Becheskes Baduk, right? Then the Gemara says, L'may nafka mino l'shayla. Good. In the end, the Gemara goes back and forth and doesn't seem to conclude one way or another whether it's Becheskes Baduk or not. So everybody's troubled by the Rambam. How did the Rambam get to the conclusion? It's not explicit in the Gemara. So some of them suggest, how did he get it? Oh, because he took a step back and he said, listen, there's a suffix in the Gemara, but it's also a suffix about a Din D'Rabbanan, Bedikas Chametz. Since it's Bedikas Chametz, so we're Mekel and we rely on the Chazaka. But if that's true, then maybe that fits in also with why there's no L'shayle. That's in the Havamin of the Gemara, when the Gemara was talking on its own merits, the Gemara was treating the Suffolk here like a regular Suffolk and called Tarakula. So then the Gemara said, L'may nafka mino l'shayle. Maybe not like the Bach, like the Ran and the Ritva. But since the Maskana, the only reason that we're concluding that there is a Cheskas Baduk is because of Safek Drabanan, because Chametz being Drabanan. Well, if that's the case, then maybe that's also the reason to drop the L'shayle. So then both points of the Rambam stem from his larger assessment, L'maskana, which is different still than the Shakla Vitaria and the Gemara. Okay? On the other hand, and I'm going to read the Bach inside in just one second, what will you say for the Ritva, Lav Kol Chazakos Shavos? After all, that goes in the opposite direction. So we suggested maybe it's about the numbers, maybe it's about the difference between a conventional Chazaka as opposed to a more human nature oriented Chazaka. Could be. But maybe there's another reason. Maybe there's dafka reason when it comes to Bedikas Chametz to be Machmir rather than to be Mekel, the opposite of the Rambam. What would that be?
Because there's an Isur Chametz which has chorus.
Okay, but we're still talking about...
According to Tosis, you might eat it, and you'll be over on Isur Koris. But if Shechita is on an Isur Koris.
Okay, but we're still talking about Bedikas Chametz, which is Drabana. You're saying, but behind the Bedikas Chametz Drabana is the Chashash or whatever of Koris. I hear that. So let's just make it a little bit stronger. And that is as follows. This is not something that we've had a chance to speak of much yet, but let me introduce it. Later on, and the Sugis and Daf Tes and Yud, the Gemara has all sorts of fascinating sveikos. Abayis is baduk, and then you see, you know, an animal, you know, walking around with a piece of chametz, you know, in its mouth, and you're not sure whether it goes into house number one or house number two. What do you do? You have to bedikas chametz all over again, right? So the whole daf, but all these questions are two houses, it went into one, there's one house, you're not sure if it went in. The Gemara goes back and forth and back and forth and so on and so forth. And some of the psakim are very lechumra. So the Rashi, if you look at Rashi and that Gemara later on, Rashi typically says that we're talking about a case where there's no bedika, where there's no bittel. There was no bittel. And since there was no bittel, so the assumption is that we're dealing with an indoraisa. And consequently, right, you are going to be machmir, sveka doraisa luchum. But if indeed we were dealing with a situation bittel, then the whole issue would be only drabanan. And since it's only drabanan, you'd say sveka drabanan lekula. Okay. That's what Rashi says. That's what Tosa says. It's all Daf Yud Amud Aleph. That's what Rashi says. That's what Tosa says, etc. Interestingly, the Ravid in his Perush Al Arif disagrees. The Ravid says some of the cases are cases where there is bittel, and the chashash is about bedikas, chametz, drabana. So why not always say sveka drabana lekula? Says the Ravid, a terrific line, because bedika al hasafek nitkana. This is the Ravid on the Rif. Bedikas chametz to begin with came about to solve the problem of safek. Or so says the Ravid. And since its origins are to neutralize safek, now again, we might want to add, according to your ha'ara, that we're so worried about, you know, chametz shel kares, that we even included or instituted a bedikas chametz as an extra hedge against that safek. If you want to add that, that's probably true. So habedika to begin with nitkana la safek, and therefore the regular din of sveka drabanan lekula does not apply. Sveka drabanan lekula is when you have a chiyuv drabanan or a mitzvah drabanan. So then we say a safek revolving around that chiyuv or mitzvah is lekula. But if the whole drabanan itself is midin safek, it's to eliminate a safek, then we don't apply that rule. Otherwise, it never would have gotten off the ground. So it's, by the way, also fascinating is that the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah interprets a lot of those sfeikos in the Gemara as seemingly as cases where there was bittel. For some reason, the Ravid in his Hasagos on the Rambam ignored what he wrote on the Rif and attacks the Rambam, says, I don't understand the Rambam. What's he talking about? If there was bittel, then it's a Safek Bedika question, and Sveka Drabban, and it's not Sveka Drabban Lekula. So why is the Rambam passing the Chumra? In other words, he completely ignores what he wrote in his Perush on the Rif and attacks the Rambam on that basis. But presumably the idea behind the Rambam is what the Ravid himself says on the Rif. And that is that bedikas chametz ala safek nitkana, And therefore, the normal rules of Sveika Darbana Lekula do not apply. Now, by the way, this does not negate, I have to keep my voice down. This does not negate what I said before in the Rambam. Right? Because we're not talking about a Sveika Lekula Lechomra. I'm talking about only about, you know, what's at stake, the institution of Bedikas Chametz. Okay. But either way, what I wanted to suggest was that maybe the Ritva, Udi'imei, that's if you want to find a good reason why we should dafka be machmir in Bedikas Chametz, even if you're normally mekil, even on Doraisas, the reasoning of the Ravid al-Arif might be a good, very good reason. It's the essence of Bedikas Chametz. And by the way, this is exactly what you were saying, I think. You were just saying, oh, it's Chiv Karis. It's very chamur. I'm trying to explain that even the institution of Bedikas Chametz, Derabanan, because of the Karis, is actually a chumra in Dinei Safek. And once that's true, if you're machmir in Dinei Safek, then maybe you shouldn't rely even on Rov B'makom She'efshar Levar. Okay? Yeah.
According to Rashi, you can say that pshat.
Sorry?
According to Rashi, you could not say that pshat. Because according to Rashi, the purpose of Bedikah is not to be over by Yura B'yimotze.
Well, again, even Rashi agrees that when there
I was interested in the quote before from Rashi Taf Yud.
No, I understand. But remember that even Rashi says on the base about
right. The
situation of there not being bittul. But Rashi and Avdalid in Maskir Socher does say explicitly, the Gemara says explicitly, that you know when there is bittul, the Bedikah is only Drabana.
Right, but the institution of Bedikah according to Rashi is the Rai. So you said
right, but you could say that it again, B'makom She'ein Bittul. But right, understood. Again, Rashi on Dav Yud makes that exact distinction. Rashi says the chumras are all cases where there's no Bittul. But where there is Bittul, you will say Sveika Darbana Lekula. What the Ravid is saying and what the Rambam is saying, the Ravid al-Rif and the Rambam is saying, even where there is Bittul, and therefore everybody agrees that Bedikah is only Drabanan in that case, even then it's Nitkan al-Safek, and therefore it's different. Right? So that's the range. So having said all of this, let me go back and read the Beis Yosef in the Bach, because there's another interesting issue that comes up.
Barak, where do you see in the Rambam that he's talking about this case of Bittul? That you asked the question, where did the Rambam get this when we read the Rambam?
No, I'm only saying in the Rambam that, what I'm saying in the Rambam is two things. There are two chidushim in the Rambam. One is that he paskins cheskas abaduk. The reason that's a chidush is because if you read the end of the Gemara, the whole Shakavataria, the Gemara is doche the raya. So it would seem like it's a bayit lo yifshita. Then I'm adding that some of the Rishonim already for the Rambam, like the Ran and others, say maybe the Rambam felt that since b'makom bittul bedika is only dindrabanan, therefore it's a safek. And therefore, we're mekel and we rely on stam chazaka. But that's chiddush number one. And then chiddush number two is that he drops any reference to neshayle. I was trying to explain that also may be for that reason. Okay? But either way, those are the two chiddushim of the Rambam. He doesn't say explicitly we're talking about a case where there's no bittul. The assumption, you know, that the halacha is that this cheskas abaduk, is makes likely that we're makes it more likely that we're talking about a situation where Bedika certainly only Drabana. Yeah.
I just want to ask a question about Romitsunes Vashita Mumkin Heng.
Yeah.
Obviously, at initio, they must have created that role because they must have actually tested 100 people who shechted, and they determined it wasn't a role that generated from the air. That must have been a role that was generated through some kind of bechina.
Or
a role. But cheskoso baruch over by chomes is not dependent. We didn't test 100 maskirim to see whether they.
I'm not sure how you know one and not the other.
No, because I think it's partially because it you have to determine whether the technique is right, whether he has ideals. So how do you create a rove of mesunis of shechita mumkim heim? You must have had a population. And you tested and discovered that 85% of the people that shechted knew the technique and the halacha. But cheskos and baruch has nothing to do with our testing these people, whether they actually made a bedik or not. It has to do with whether Yisroel Kedoshim Haim, do they do the right thing? It has.
I'm not sure why you assume that either way, but I they might be the same, and they might be. I mean, all we know is that there's a rove. Whether the rove is something.
But how do you create a rove? You have to have a population to work on to see if there's a rove or not.
Right, but you could probably assess the human nature of the rove, or let's assume you need empirical evidence. But why wouldn't you assume that would be the case in Maskir and Socher too? You took the poll.
Nobody's going to give a bechina to a mosque.
No. In one case, there's an aspect. The issue in Shechita is an issue of knowledge and competence.
Right.
The issue in Bedika is not about knowledge and competence. Hako chaveir meitzo Bedika. It's a question of attention to duty. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't in both cases empirical evidence that there was a rov at some point. Meaning they took a poll, they found out that, you know, there were 172 properties, you know, that changed hands, you know, on Yom Adalid. And they found out that, you know, that 114, you know, maskirs did a bedika in advance, you know, and the rest did not. It's hard to know why, one way or another. And they did the same poll with it's a different content. In one case, it's about competence and knowledge.
Right.
In the other case, it's about a sense of halachic responsibility.
Right.
But either way, you can test it. You can measure it.
I don't know.
Assuming that the respondents in the poll are telling you the truth.
The other thing, the whole Shiloh here, what's the Shiloh? Why can't next morning when he takes possession, since he doesn't know if it's Cheskos or Baruch or not, he should be Mavatal?
No, he could be Mavatal, but there's still a Chiv B'dika D'Rabbanan.
But he's not going to get, you know, he's not.
You do Bittal. Don't you do? You do Bittal. Don't you do B'dika?
Of course, yeah. But you have to do Bittal anyway, even if he did B'dika.
Right. We're not talking about the Din D'Rabbanan and B'dika. We're not talking about Yira. Yeah, we want to know, and that's why, by the way, why does the Gemara use the language la truche lahai? Because the bedika is a tircha. It's not a problem of ba'yirah. In Achanami, it's do you have the chi of drabanan to do bedikas chametz?
Okay.
Let's look at the. Oh, we have to stop in a minute.
And I want. Yeah. Is there a special relationship that we constantly talk about, maskir and a socher? Let's say a father in a house. Mm-hmm. If the father, in the morning they wake up and they don't know if the father did bedika.
Right.
And would we say the same thing that we're discussing would apply to that type of relationship? Or is there a unique, because we constantly talk about a maskir and a socher.
Right. So I think I've raised the question already when it comes to other issues. For example, the question, you know, that we dealt with previously. Right, who has the who has the Chiyuv Bedika, and who has the Bal Yiruah. You could ask the same question about Mocher and Lokeach, right? You're talking about a father and a son. What about a Mocher and a Lokeach? What about, I sell the property to you on Yom Yudalad, and you buy it. Forget about Masker Socher. Is there an assumption that you did Bidikas Chametz? So I do. If, of course, it's relevant. The post can speak about it. Whether there are differences, when it comes to the chiyuv bedika, I think we talked about it already. There's Chokyakov and Mekor Chaim, and the Mesiras HaMavteach issue, which we talked about. I think also in terms of Cheskas HaBaduk, there will be the question. But the poll might be different. I mean, a Maskir may have a different sense of, I don't know, more or less. Masker socher, mocher lokeach, and father son. I think it's the same. Legitimate. The question is legitimate. You know, whether what the poll would prove, and you know the psychology of, you know, again, mocher lokeach. He's walking away from this property forever. Does that make him feel more responsible or less? A father and a son. Maybe he feels greater responsibility, hopefully. Or is it like shoveling snow? You know, he thinks, you know, at least he could do, you know, the Tircha B'dikas Chametz. Right? So I think it's a totally legitimate question. And the post can discuss. I don't know if they discuss this question. They definitely discuss, again, the Chiyuv B'dika question. So yeah, no, all these Gemaras for some reason are Masker Socher, but I think the reason is because it's just more, for the reasons that we discussed, you know, like 3 weeks ago, it's just more complicated in Masker Socher. Because, you know, the Masker continues to be, you know, the titular owner of the property. Therefore, his liability regarding the other issues and maybe his psychological sense of responsibility is greater than a mocher, you know, to a lokeach when the mocher is gone. As for father and a son, you know, hopefully that sense of responsibility is greater. But yeah, okay. I do want to finish the Bach. I'm not supposed to go over time, but you know, let's just look at the Bach and there's one other issue in the Bach and Beis Yosef that I want to discuss. So let's discuss just these two very quickly. So this is on page 2, right? Here. Let's start with the Beis Yosef. On line, okay, let's go for the line 2. Kosavran, everybody have that? The second line in the Beis Yosef, the piece that starts Simen Tav Lamed Zayin. What line is that? On page 2?
9.
Okay, great. Thank you. Kosaran Klomar, Isalamaskir Kamon, Lonafka Lamidi, Dafilu Nemedekas Kasa Baduk, Kolheche di Isa Kamon, Shailin Omai. That's how the Ran reads the Gemara, like the Ritva. Meaning, even if there is a Chazaka, you can't rely on it if you could do better, or if you could do the best. The Ritva called it the best, right? Kushta. Ran doesn't say kushta, but lo samchin lachazaka kolecha de efsher levrure milsam bevararinan. What does it mean? Absolutely or better? Whenever you can get greater clarity, that's your obligation. Okay. Then look one line down. Because of Aran, afilo hachi kivin de pashte Rav Nachman u bedrabanan hu dimidaraisa bebita bialmasagi. even though the Gemara doesn't make it clear what the Matskana is, since it's only a Dindarabanan, Bedika, because the assumption is that there is Bittul here. So the assumption is we're dealing only with a Dindarabanan. If we're only dealing with Dindarabanan, so, you know, we're Misafek, we'll assume there's a Chazaka. Miu. I Isa Lamaskir, this is what's absent in the Rama. Shailin Alai. Ukidakasivna. If the mask is around, you ask him. And then he says, V'chein Pasku Arambam. But he doesn't make mention. So interesting to me. He doesn't mention that the Rambam omits V'shailina. It sounds like he didn't notice it. Because they're just assuming, like the Ran, that it's an automatic. They thought the Rambam didn't mention it because it's obvious. I don't think so. Chaim Paskor, a Rambam Barosh, with the Loka Ghost Maimunios, Shakasud Ablazar Mimitz, Shargonim Cholkim Vizel Poskim, Kolteku Di Sura, Lechumra Afilabidraba, Afilabishal Sofrim. Oh, so this is what I wanted to mention. The last line of the Beis Yosef, Im Tomar, Ki Isa Lamaska Kamon, Amai Shalina Melochazis Samchina Nachazaka. This is the Trefa case. Maishna mi behema the isa kaman afilahachila badkinle bekula treifas. You don't do a bedika for treifas. Stop. Ela mukminan achaskasa. Mukmina chaskasa, as I said before, is not rove. That's status quo. Maishna mi behema the isa kaman. Says the Beit Yosef, Yishlomar Shaini Beima, she becheskas ksheira mishenolda. Avabayis kol hashana becheskas shenabaduku. So it's a very interesting. Beit Yosef says, Efshelavar tzorach levarer. But not when there's a chazaka meleda. Does he mean the difference between chazaka and rov? Or is it dafka chazaka meleda? And any chazaka or rov? Interesting. And what about bayis kol shana? That's becheskas ein abaduk. Fine. So now look at the Bach. And with this we'll conclude. Look on line 4 where he quotes, look at line 5. He quotes the Ran. Everybody have where he says, the Ein Perusha Makriach? What line is that? The fifth line of the Bach.
24.
Ein Perusha Makriach. Shekein Adin. That what? That when the Gemara says the Mainaf Gemino, the Shaile, that the Gemara means Efshelavar Tzorach Levar. Dikel Meimer Dilemai De Pashit Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok Techeskas Abaduk Ain Tzorach Le Mishaile. Afilu B'Disa Kamon. Says no. If we knew for if we were poshet that Cheskas was Baduk, then you wouldn't need to ask at all. Oh, the Kamar Lemai Nafkamino Le Shaile Hakepe Rusha. What difference does it make whether cheskas baduk or not? Even if ain cheskas baduk, you can still just ask him. Halo kiven the safek hu nishayle, lahotzi mide safek. But in Achanami, if there was a chazaka, you wouldn't have to ask him. Gamra yosem yiparakam dechulan yesh lidchos. Why? But kind of what we said. The dafka shchita doraisa tzorach l'mishayli. V'lo bebdika d'rabanan. Right? That's what we were suggesting for the Rambam. That doesn't work for the Ritva, because the Ritva goes the opposite direction. He says, shchita, you do not need to ask. And bedika, you do need to ask. basically the Ran equates Shechita and Bdika. The Rambam and the Ritva argue and disagree. But the Ritva disagrees by saying Bedikas Chametz is more Chamor. And the Rambam argues by saying that Bedikas Chametz is more Kal. Now, the end of the piece, now if we could skip just to the end, then we'll stop here. The next paragraph. Second. Kosa Beis Yosef. Vim Tomar V'Yishlomar. Fine. He says, Veloya Dati Tamo. Everybody have that? What line is that?
36.
36. The Kiva the Samchina no Kaskasa Baduk, Kishaina Lefanenu, B'diavad we rely on the Chazaka. Imken Kishayeshna Lefanenu Nami. Meaning, what's the difference between a trefa? What do you mean there's a chazak cheskas chai? There's a chazaka here too. What's the answer? Here there's a rov, there's not a chazaka. Here there's a rov. There's a chazaka meleda. V'ilo have a chazaka gemura, says the Bach. In ken gam be'enu lefanenu nitzrachinu livdok. What the Bach says is very strange. The Bach says, well, either there's a chazaka here or there's not. If not, then you shouldn't rely on it even if the guy's not around. If yes, then you shouldn't need to ask him. Not true. There are some chazakos, like the Ritva said, ein kol chazakos shavos. What the Beis Yosef is saying is, if you have a status quo, especially a natural born status quo, maybe that's where he draws the line, then maybe there's no latest a suffix until you know there's a suffix. And therefore, you don't need to ask. That's different than if you have a rove, which b'dievid, if you have no other choice, you'll use to solve the problem. But it doesn't mean that there is no problem. But what's interesting is the Bach himself comes up with an answer. There's a different discussion, this distinction. He says, in the case of Trefa, right, the Cheskas Kashrus is Mimela. In the case of Bais Baduk, you require a Maisa to create the Cheskas Baduk. That's the difference, as long as you took the poll. Say in both cases you took a poll. So again, is that the difference between status quo and rove and probability? Or is what he's saying is, again, same idea, which is something that's Mimela, we presume there's no problem until we know there's an issue. Because the burden of evidence that something has changed is what instigates the question. But if you need to do an action in order to generate a chazaka, a rove, like Bedikas Chametz, then there's always a question whether you did it or not. It's Mechusar Maisa. Did he initiate the change? In one case, the question is, did he initiate the change? In the other case, the question is the status quo still holding? Al Pidin, those are two very different kind of questions. That's what he says. Okay, Tzarech L'Mishayla. Mitamza B'Shochet, Isa L'Kaman Tzarech L'Mivdekei. Because in Shechita, it's Mechusar Maisa. Ein Svam Chilarov Mitzuyin. So the point is that there are numerous distinctions that are relevant here. Okay, so next time I want to discuss briefly Is there a cheskas iser in bayis baduk? That is an interesting discussion between the Rama and the Shach and the Magen Avraham. I want to begin with that, and then I want to speak about Bitul Chametz. Okay, the next Gemara, Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, Mirat Hashem for next week.